The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
In our continuing series on the Divine Liturgy, we turn now to the shape of the liturgy itself, and we find that prior to the 4th century, the liturgy as we know it did not exist as one service, but as two. Dom Gregory Dix, in his book, The Shape of the Liturgy, says this: "The primitive core of the liturgy falls into two parts, the synaxis, a Greek word which means properly simply a meeting, and the Eucharist proper, or thanksgiving. These were separate things which had a different origin. The synaxis was, in its shape, simply a continuation of the Jewish synagogue service of our Lord's time, which was carried straight over into the Christian church by its Jewish nucleus in the decade after the Passion. The Eucharist, on the contrary, was of direct Christian development, though this too had a Jewish background in the Passover sacrifice meal, in the Kiddush, or the religious meal of the household, with which the Sabbath and the great feasts began, and more particularly in the common meals with a devotional purpose held by Jewish religious brotherhoods. But whatever its Jewish setting and prehistory may have been, the Christian Eucharist as such derived from the Last Supper." Dix also outlines for us the original unchanging outline of the Christian synaxis practiced everywhere in 8 parts. First, the opening greeting by the officiant or celebrant and the reply of the church. Second, a lesson. Third, psalmody. Fourth, a lesson or lessons separated by psalmody. Fifth, a sermon. Sixth, a dismissal of those who did not belong to the church. Seventh, prayers. And eighth, the dismissal of the church. Note the similarity between this outline and the outline of the Liturgy of the Word found on pages 46 and 47 in Father Alexander's book, Liturgy and Life. He says, "Now the climax of the synaxis has been reached. God will speak to us. His eternal word will be given to us again, and we will receive it. The Liturgy of the Word, which follows the entrance, includes, 1, the peace, 2, the singing of the prokimenon, which are verses from a psalm announcing the general theme of the scriptural readings, 3, the reading of the epistle, 4, the singing of the alleluia and the censing, and this is also accompanied by psalm verses, 5, the reading of the gospel lesson by the deacon, and 6, the sermon by the priest. In our present form of the liturgy, we have 2 parts that have been added to this original outline of the liturgy, the enarxis, or the beginning, and the little entrance, or the what's called the entrance of the book of the Gospels. The development of the enarxis, or the service of the 3 antiphons, is described for us by Father Casimir Kucharik in his book, The Byzantine Slav Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. Quote, "The responsorial singing of the psalms, that is, the 3 antiphons, may have been placed at the beginning of the liturgy to occupy the people while they themselves were waiting for the bishop's entrance, his formal entrance. What had begun as a semi-independent practice would then have become a part of the liturgy. There is, however, insufficient documentation on these centuries, that is the 5th through the 8th centuries, to indicate with certainty how the evolution actually occurred. The three antiphons first appear in the 8th century text of the Byzantine liturgy, and it would seem that they had no connection with the entrance rite. Isidore Parmal's redaction of the Liturgy of St. Basil, for example, merely has the office of the antiphons performed before the entrance of the bishop. The commentary of St. Germanus of Constantinople in the 8th century fails to mention any link between the antiphons and the entrance rite when it explains the mystical meaning of the antiphons as a preparation for the coming of the Son of God. It is the same which the 8th century Codex Barberini, which contains the three antiphons, complete with their respective prayers of the celebrant and almost as they are today. In addition, Kucharik outlines for us the development of the little entrance. He says, "The little entrance is a remnant of the ancient entrance rite introduced into the Eastern Synaxis soon after the persecutions had ended. The bishop, celebrant, and his celebrants would gather at some prearranged place, go to the church, vest at the entrance, and then enter the church in procession. In a small church without a vestibule, the celebrants would vest at the altar. A bishop still vests at the altar in both the Byzantine and Latin rites, and in either case, their processional march into the church was fully ceremonial, as befitted the dignity of a bishop." The first detailed description of such an entrance is given in the writings of Etheria during her first visit to Jerusalem in AD 390. She describes the entrance of the bishop into the Church of the Resurrection in Jerusalem, an entrance purposefully delayed until all the people were in place in order that he might enter the church in procession through their midst. The occasion is not actually a Eucharistic service, but one of the daily offices. We may infer that a similar procession or processional entrance preceded the Synaxis. The canons of Laodicea in Asia Minor, about AD 363, indicate that the presbyters may not enter and take their seats in the apse, the bema, before the bishop has made his formal entrance. They are to enter with him. St. John Chrysostom in his homilies in Antioch around 390 AD and Constantinople shortly after AD 400 also speaks of a formal entrance. The Clementine liturgy of the Apostolic Constitutions, on the other hand, mentions no entrance procession, but begins immediately with the readings. There could have been no formal entrance procession in the pre-Nicene days of the persecutions. The simple buildings of primitive Christianity would not have been suitable for the elaborate ceremonial, and the ancient entrance rite must have been introduced shortly after the Council of Nicaea. After the entrance, we sing a number of hymns, the final one being the Trisagion, or Thrice Holy Hymn. According to tradition, the hymn was divinely inspired. St. John of Damascus gives us his testimony. "Now those who have compiled the history of the church relate how once, when Proclus was archbishop, the people of Constantinople were making public entreaty to avert some threat of the divine wrath. And it happened that a child was taken up out of the crowd and by some angelic choirmasters was taught the thrice holy hymn after the following fashion: Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. When the child came back again and told what he had been taught, the whole crowd sang the hymn, and the threat was averted. And it is traditional that the thrice holy hymn was also sung in this manner, at the Holy and Great Fourth Ecumenical Council, that which was held in Chalcedon, I mean, for so it is reported in the Acts of this same Holy Council. And so these things were added by the Church to the rule of prayer for our benefit, to help us to prepare to hear the Word of God, to manifest our entrance with Christ, the Word, into the heavenly sanctuary, and to provide us with the means to enter into the song of the angels around His heavenly throne. Having prepared in this way, we are now ready to enter into communion with the Word of God in the liturgy of the Word. As that Father Alexander says, "Now the climax of the Synaxis has been reached. God will speak to us. His eternal word will be given to us again, and we will receive it."
And that was Father John Finley with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, Exploring the Orthodox Faith Through Music and Liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.